All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and on this episode, I am joined by Arizona's favorite son, K-I-double-P, Kip Rascal. Kip, how are you doing?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for joining me. So, hey, first question out of the chute. How did you get first introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
Oh, man. It's, I mean, as you can imagine, just like everybody else, you know, you come across it on television one day and you just peer into that world that is just two dudes beating the heck out of each other. And I think the first time I saw wrestling, it was actually TNA, and I just got a glimpse of it, and it was James Storm's bottling Eric Young over the head with a beer bottle in that segment that they did in the rivalry. And I remember I watched that, and like 10 seconds later, my dad came in. He was like, hey, you can't be watching that. And I got really sad. And then I think fast forward 2 years from that, I recognized it in a GameStop, and I got SmackDown versus Raw 2008. And that kind of just like opened the whole thing to me, because I was already really into like fighting games. Like I really like Tekken, like Street Fighter, all that jazz. And so when I discovered a wrestling game and I saw the characters on there, like The Undertaker and Batista and Triple H and my boy Shawn Michaels, it just like that whole world was just so cool to me. And eventually I started watching it on television, but it was through video games. It was mostly through video games in which I got really intrigued by it.
Oh, very fascinating. Just going to take it one step back. So you said the TNA days. So was this the true TNA days that you got introduced? And was it the time frame that they were on the Fox regional sports networks? Was it that time, or was it when they were like on the, you know, multiple channels that were on after that?
I remember watching it Spike TV,
okay.
And I don't know if it was Spike TV, and it wasn't like it was a little bit after the whole, like, you know, they were partnering with NWA when they kind of became their own separate thing,
right?
And but it was like before Hulk Hogan and all that jazz. So it was when the X Division was hot, uh-huh. And you know, Motor City Machine Guns were running rampant. And it was like a couple years before Aces and Eights, but I remember the segment James Storm and Eric Young, and I think they're having a drink off or something like that. Eric Young did something, James Storm was like, "Yo, what the heck?" and then bottled him over the head, and like blood just was everywhere, and it was cool. It was so cool, dude.
Oh, cool, awesome. All right, so who are your favorites? You said you know, your boy Shawn Michaels. Who? Any other favorites that you had?
Yeah, so I'd say probably my top three is number one is Shawn Michaels. That's always just been my guy. He's just my favorite in the world. I wish to be half the wrestler that I can be someday. You know, he's got the charisma, the talent, and everything. Number two is The Rock. Gotta love The Rock. Gotta love the catchphrases. Gotta love the swagger. Everything about The Rock just amazes me, even more so as he's transitioned to like an actor and as a celebrity in the media. You know, he's just become such a great human in general. I kind of strive to be that one day. And then I'd probably say Roddy Piper. If I'm like, he's one of the 80s guys I really enjoyed. Like, I can just always go back and watch Roddy Piper. And my dad was also a really big fan of Roddy Piper when he was growing up. So like, we always had that connection with Piper, along with like Hulk Hogan and all that, you know.
Oh, okay, all right. And then you, it said that the video games actually kind of maybe put you over the top. What were some of your favorite? I'm assuming wrestling video games that you enjoyed doing that, and you know what kind of fascinated you and got you. I'm guessing that kind of got you the bug to think that you can do this as a profession.
Yeah, so it was funny. Like I started out playing SmackDown versus Raw 2008, and then I remember a bunch of kids in school were talking about, you know, also they also played the wrestling games, And they like told me about the old one. So I got like there was a four pack from SmackDown versus Raw, the first one that came out all the way to like 2008. And I got the four pack and I was like boss of the playground. Like nobody could touch me because I just had all those games. So I would have a bunch of buddies come over and we'd play that. And then what really got me into the idea that this is like a thing that people can actually do, you know, like I didn't think I could do it at least until high school, but it was funny because I used to play, I think it was like SmackDown versus Raw. No, it was WWE 12. And I used to be part of leagues, like online leagues with other people from like all the way in Canada and Brazil and around the United States. And we would create a website and we'd make our own characters. And you would pretty much like, they would put you in a schedule. They would book you, right? They would book you in a match and you put it on the website. You find the dude, you find his username on PlayStation, which was the console I played on. And you find him, you wrestle him. And then you can go on the website and make your own promos. And they would have championships and all that. And we had our announcing team, our own president, you know. It was a really fun time. So from going to that to doing what I do now, you know, with Rocky Mountain Pro, it's kind of like I've been doing the same thing since I was 13, you know, like wrestling other dudes online to now wrestling other people in real life. And yeah, like that's what kind of got me into that's what made me want to be a superstar one day.
All right. Well, before we get into that, I'm curious, how well did you do in your league? Did you attain any championships?
I got a couple championships in my name. It's on record. If you there's a it's a we used to, the league that we used to play in was Hybrid Wrestling Alliance. And I like to say I was one of the better ones. You know, I wasn't the best. I never got a world championship online, unfortunately. Never made the big times, brother. But I got at least, I think, if I remember correctly, two tag belts under my name and a pure adrenaline championship. And an extreme hybrid championship. So, yeah, I think those are the titles that I got in my tenure in Hybrid Wrestling Alliance online.
And
Yeah.
how did you go about getting a partner, or did you find another actual player controlled partner, or was your part tag team partner computer controlled?
No, like, so you would play online and you would just, so we would have the, like, if you ever go on PlayStation. You can make a group chat and you would have like 15 people in that group chat and they're all just talking, you know, cutting promos on each other, talking smack. But you know, it's all playful. Sometimes it wasn't playful, and that's when it got dramatic, but most of the time it was playful. And you would find a dude that like you just, you know, he was your buddy. Like it was me. I went kinda I had a partner by the name of Anxiety. That was his name. It was the weirdest wrestling name, Anxiety. And we formed a team called the Suicidal Shenanigans, and I think we were teams. We were tag team partners for about a year and a half, and we got that was one of the people I got a tag championship with. The other dude was a guy named Jack Cassidy. All virtual people, right? But like real behind the screen, you know, it was real dudes, but you know, like virtual characters and all that, creator wrestlers. So that's how you just find someone you really like hanging out with, you like talking to, and you just tag with them online, and then when some suckers want to come in and challenge you, you do what you got to do, Mr. Fourth Row.
I got you. Cool. That's great. I love it. Okay, so then what got you your eye towards stepping in the ring and doing this in person? How did that come all about?
So in high school I did theater, and that's kind of where I got the that's kind of where I kind of honed my performance craft. Like I didn't do sports as a kid. I was actually very overweight growing up, throughout middle school and in the beginning of high school. And so I didn't do many sports, but like I said, I played the wrestling league online. And freshman year I tried out for a play and I got into it, which was I was completely baffled at the fact that I actually got into it. And from there I kept doing plays. I did all the plays throughout my high school. And it was sophomore year. It was the fourth play I did. And I remember doing really well in that play. And the next day at school, everyone was coming up to me and giving me like mad compliments and just telling me how well I did and how good of the character I was and like saying that I could have like a future in performance. And in my head, I'm like, well, you know, if I can't, if to me, it was like, if they're saying that, I think I could be a wrestler if I like just dropped a couple of pounds, just a couple, you know, like I was a short kid, but I was a short, stout kid. And, I just was like, screw it. I want to be a wrestler. And that was sophomore year when I made that decision. I never had any thoughts about being a wrestler before that. I was fine with being a fan. But after that performance, I was like, I think I can really do it. So I kind of just, I was really motivated for about a month, and I exercised a lot for about that month. And then I gave up, but then, my metabolism kicked in about junior year. So I got really skinny, like really skinny. And I was like, shoot, that works out. That worked out plenty fine.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. Okay. And then, how did you find Rocky Mountain Pro?
So like going from sophomore year, I knew that I wanted to be a wrestler. That was the plan. That was the goal. Nothing was going to get in my way. But I had no idea really how to get into that. I knew that there was a wrestling school in Glendale, in Arizona, called Arizona Wrestling Federation. And I went to a couple of their shows before. Okay. And, you know, pretty much the basic indie territory. You know, they do small shows, but it was good. It was fun. I really like the indie aesthetic. It's so much more personal and so much more, you know, like you feel connected to the wrestlers more so than I say like a WWE show or like one of the bigger time shows. I really enjoy the aesthetic of indie shows. So the original plan was to do Arizona Wrestling Federation, but, my grandmother, who lived in Colorado at the time, she offered me to move me out to Colorado to just kind of get like a fresh start on life, you know, because where I'm from in Arizona, you kind of have like small town blues where, you know, you're just stuck in a small town for most of your life. And you're like, man, I need to get out. I need to like go explore. I need to like just find something else out here in the world that isn't Prescott Valley, which is the original place where I'm from. So when she said that, when she offered me that chance to go out to Colorado, I was like, sure. So 6 days after I graduated high school, I went to Colorado, and after a couple months of getting myself set, you know, situated, and then I raised enough money, I looked up schools in Colorado, and one of the first places I found was Rocky Mountain Pro, and I checked out their content, and it was like way cool, like what, like you know, like you know, obviously you've seen how Rocky Mountain Pro does their thing, you know, it's legit. It's a really cool kind of production. It really reminded me of how we did things back in theater. And that's what I really appreciated out of it. So it just felt right and comfortable to go towards Rocky Mountain Pro in terms of like training. And it also had like the best reviews out of any of the other schools, you know, it was top notch. So that's kind of where I went with Rocky Mountain Pro. It wasn't always a plan, but out of the schools in Colorado, I felt it was just the best fit for me.
Oh, cool. And then, so from the time that you got into Rocky Mountain Pro to the time when we started seeing you on Charged and the shows and stuff, how long was that time frame?
Like from when I began training to when I actually started doing wrestling?
Yeah, when you actually started getting into the shows, whether it was a Charged or a house show or something like that.
So it was, I guess, I started training in August of last year, and I debuted December 27th at a Rack House show.
Okay.
And I came up, you know, I was doing Kip Rascal, K-I-P-P. And it was kind of like just that, it was, I don't know, you have to count the months, but just going through that whole process, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be doing all the shows and the stuff that I'm doing with Rocky Mountain Pro if it weren't for the acting background I had, because like I said, I didn't do any sports. So when I came in to do training, I had a really tough time with the physical aspect of it. But if you really want to do something and you really are passionate towards it and it's just something, you know, that's something you want to do, you don't mind going through all those struggles. So over time, I kind of just got used to doing all the squats and all the push-ups and the beat, you know, the being beat down with the bumps and all that and feeling sore the next day. It became part of what I enjoyed about it. You know, at first it sucks. Like it sucks a lot, but you know, like I said, you get used to it and it kind of becomes something you like after a while because you see the progress that you make. And then when I actually started doing the shows, every time I saw, I did a show and I'd see myself on Twitch or, you know, on Facebook or whatever, I would just be like, I got to get better. So I would just go back and start training more. And it's a really good outlet. That's the most important thing that I get out of this is that it's a really nice outlet. It's like an artistic outlet, because before that I had theater and I do music on the side as well, but just the actual performance aspect of it and being in front of a crowd and allowing to express yourself in a character way is just, it's you can't beat anything like that. It's great.
Oh, okay. All right. And then, so what was your first match like, and who was it against, and what was your thought process? What were you thinking? Nerves, anxiety, all that kind of jazz.
So like I said, I had the actor background, so they felt really comfortable with putting me on a mic.
Yeah.
Right away. So I guess technically my first match, like I said, was at Rack House. It was the Battle Royal. And I came in, cut a solid promo. And I cut a decent promo, I guess. And I didn't really feel nervous because, like I said, I had that performance background. So being in front of a crowd and talking, it doesn't really get me worked up too much. I'm comfortable doing that. I don't have like an issue talking in front of people or like in front of a house. But then Humphrey Jacobs came out and he pile-drived me. So that was the end of that. That's technically my first match. But I think technically I would say my first actual professional wrestling bout was against Zero Cool. And that was the first time I actually had to wrestle. And that got me really nervous, because like I said, the physical aspect of things is way more different than the actual talking and the acting aspect of things. So going out there and actually having to do offense or, you know, bump for people and doing all that jazz, I was nervous at first, but after a while of doing it, you kind of get comfortable. I don't get as nervous as I think other people do. Like, I've seen people in the back and they're just very, they're like pacing and they're very back and forth. And to an extent, I think that's good, because if you're nervous, you don't really care. But I've never had, like, I love performing. I think it's what I'm meant to do. So when it comes to that, I want to do well and I want to do the best that I can, but I'm not going to get worked up over it as much as other people do, I think.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Cool. All right. Well, and then, okay. So now, so far, of all your, experiences you've had in this, like I said, the wacky world of, professional wrestling, what have been some of the highlights or the, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got to do that. And I think I know one of them at least, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to go out with what I think you're thinking. If you're thinking what I'm thinking, then I'm thinking what you're thinking. The obvious one is Al Snow.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's for someone as early in my career and as someone as young as me, it was really an honor to be in the ring and do a performance with Al Snow. And the knowledge you get out of it in match, after the match, even before the match, with Al Snow when he's going over everything, I can't really put it to words, because he's a very knowledgeable person and he really gives you an idea. I wouldn't have gotten that match with Al Snow though if it wasn't for the fact that I had butterscotch. Like, butterscotch is the only reason that I got that match with Al Snow in the first place, which I'll give all the credit to the horse, you know, not to beat a dead horse or anything, but I'll give all the credit to the horse. He's the reason I got into that match with Al Snow. But that match was very much so a very good experience. And it really taught me that you don't have to do like a bunch of crazy moves and like a bunch of like crazy stuff to be entertaining. You know, all you got to do is just put a mannequin head and a stick horse in the middle of the ring and point at it. And there you go. You got 3 minutes right there, brother. People are going crazy. Gunning out of stands.
Right, right. Yes, I totally agree. I'm going to piggyback just a little bit. You're so right when it comes to Al Snow about his knowledge. Even I got to talk to him, I believe, at the first time that he was at the Summit Music Hall. And just the amount of knowledge that he was able to give me just on this side of the ropes, doing the podcasting and the interviews and stuff like that. It's amazing how much. I mean, no wonder he's running Ohio Valor Wrestling.
I mean, that's crazy. Like the top-notch school in America. It's certified as a college school now. That's the only school you can get a certificate in professional wrestling in now. You know, like that took a lot of work and dedication, but know-how as well to even accomplish that. You know, so he's definitely a very smart dude, and with the experience he's had over the past 30-something years, he's been in the business. I think it's 30-something years. He's accomplished a lot. Really smart dude. Yeah. Kind of like when I went to go to talk to him, he's not like a very personal guy. You know, it's kind of, it was hard for me at least. I don't know. Maybe I get nervous around like, you know, kind of bigger names or like celebrities. I just get, you know, I get nervous because I want to do good. Mm-hmm. I want to be their friend. And it didn't go so well in kind of like the personal talk with it. But when it came down to business, that guy knows how to get business done. Mm-hmm. He knows how to do things right, and he knows how to work a crowd and make sure that everyone gets what they paid for in the end.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so any other things that, you know, so far that have just like, wow, that was great, I can't believe I got to do that, or, you know, any things that kind of stand out for you?
I've had a very productive and good rookie year in wrestling, I imagine. I've had a lot more opportunities than a lot of people have had the majority of the wrestling careers, which wasn't on me. That's on Rocky Mountain Pro. They the ones that have given me the opportunity, and I will forever be grateful for the fact that they've given me that opportunity and for everything they've given me with the Al Snow match. Some of the other things that they've given me was they allowed me the chance to perform at the Pepsi Center as one of their acts, and it was like it was a six man, and it was me. Let's see, it was me, Filter. No. It was me, Mario, and Dustin against Filter, Austin Reddick, and Marlon Bishop. And it was a six man, and it was really cool. And even though it wasn't like, you know, like WWE status or anything, you know, it wasn't filled to the brim, but we had a couple hundred people there. And the fact that I got to perform in a stadium in my rookie year of wrestling is a really cool thing to say about your life. You know, it's a really cool thing. I guess the other one would be I got to wrestle Curtis Cole a couple of times, and Curtis Cole is one of those dudes who, you know, he's known in the Colorado wrestling scene. He's one of those guys that's worked very hard to get to accomplish what he's done so far. And I remember right before I joined Rocky Mountain Pro, I watched the episodes of Charged, you know, the past ones. And I remember just watching him, and he was always one of my favorite characters. You know, he's like that. He wore the Hawaiian shirts. He had these crazy hair. His personality is just off the charts. He's a crazy guy, but he's also like cool. And I always wanted to wrestle him. So when they gave me a chance to wrestle him in like a bar brawl style no DQ Rack House rules match at the Rack House, I was all over that, man. And we had a war. We went one-on-one. And it was crazy. Like, chairs were involved. It was also like the first time that I got to hit dudes with a chair, which is scary.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrifying because you don't like, you want to do some damage, obviously, but you don't want to hurt the guy permanently.
Right. Yeah. Breaking the fourth wall a little bit, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We all.
Yeah.
Know.
Absolutely.
The smart people know. Yeah.
But Curtis Cole, you know, he bugs me sometimes, but all in all, I do respect the guy a little bit, and it was a good joy to watch him and to work with him and all that. Let's see, I think there's one more. I mean, one more. Just the chances to work at Summit Music Hall. Even though it's a pretty cool venue. It's just, you know, I think my favorite thing about Summit Music Hall is that when they play your music, it's super bassy. And it just sounds like, you know, like you can feel it through the walls, your music playing. It really gets you hyped up to go out there and do some damage on your opponent. So Summit Music Hall was also another cool thing. Oh, sorry. One more thing.
Sure.
The Make-A-Wish that I was able to be a part of for Chad Isaacs was a really cool moment as well, especially, like I said, that's another thing I get to notch on my belt. I got to help do a Make-A-Wish and be part of that whole thing. And I remember just meeting the kid, and he's such a cool kid. like, you know, meeting him for the first time, he was more so kind of, I think he was exhausted and tired from everything that was going on. But when he was getting better with his disease and all that, and you saw the personality come out of him, he's just such a cool kid, you know, and he loves wrestling. And I remember being his age and like liking things just as much. You know, you look through the seeing things through a children's eye is something you will only ever get to experience as a child, because it's just wonder and amusement and just everything's awesome to you. So seeing Chad Isaacs look up to us Rocky Mountain Pro superstars and being able to help him accomplish a dream and have his name chanted in front of like thousands of just high school students at a high school was a really cool, momentous moment in my life. And I was really appreciative that I got to be part of that.
Oh, that was very cool. Okay, well, Kip, so right now, we unfortunately have to, I don't know how to really steer around it, but you're kind of on the injured list, unfortunately.
Yup.
But let's talk about the future after you get healed up here. What do you have planned for the future? And, do you like maybe have any, dream opponents of, anywhere, anytime, anyhow?
I am on the injured list, unfortunately. And it's just one of those things that happen in wrestling. You know, you go out and you do a match and you expect everything to be fine, but sometimes something just doesn't hit right. And yeah, you completely break your collarbone in half,
right,
which was the case that happened to me. I guess any future things that I want to do. Well, obviously, the first things first, Mr. 4-4-0, okay. If I could indulge for a second, KIPP, Kip Rascal has got some beef with Curtis Cole because he's the son of a gun who did this in the first place.
Oh.
He's the guy that caused this injury. So one of my first priorities when I come back in the squared circle and the biggest, baddest mamma jamma to ever set foot in Rocky Mountain Pro sets foot, his eyes are set on one killer Curtis Cole. And I don't know what's been up with that dude lately. He's at a mean streak as of late because he's attacked Airborne Alex Anthony. He's attacked Too Cold Scorpio on last week's episode of Charged, and he broke my collarbone. That guy has been on a mean streak. But when KIPP Kip Rascal comes back, he's going to be bigger, badder, and meaner than Curtis Cole ever was. So that's first priority. Second priority is to get the Lipto, big bad hombre Lipto, take him off his throne, his pedestal, because he's getting a little too cocky, a little too confident sitting up there in that Charge championship position. So KIPP is going to have to do what he does best and slap the silly mask right off Lipto's face. And then third of all, Mr. Fourth Row, is that KIPP Kip Rascal is going to hopefully one day, if anybody has the guts to put him in the ring with me, I want to go one-on-one with Atiba for that championship. Because Atiba, though he may be a goofball, though he may be the Rocky Mountain Dragon who can't even breathe fire, KIPP Kip Rascal has a slight amount of respect for that kid. And I think if we go in that ring together, I think we could put on a whole goddamn clinic. So those are my goals heading back into wrestling, Rocky Mountain Pro, if you know what I mean.
All right. Well, gosh, I mean, that sounds fantastic. I will honestly say I like it. It's a great idea. So any worries about, you know, you said that, for example, Curtis Cole's kind of got a little mean streak on there, and him and Mercury Matt Yaden are kind of turning, I don't know, doing despicable things here, I guess. You're going to, you know, maybe have to, you know, just in case, have Cody Devine watching your back, helping you out a little bit.
Oh, so fine. Cody Devine will always have my back, as well as Butterscotch. Always.
All right.
So when it comes time for KIPP to come back, Cody Devine will probably have my back, as well as Butterscotch will be a 3-on-2 situation. I don't know how Curtis Cole and Matt Yaden are going to sneak their way out of that, but I'm going to teach Curtis Cole that if he wants to be mean, I can be meaner.
Great, great, fantastic. All right. Well, Kip, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast, but before I let you go, if people wanted to follow up with you on social media, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the et ceteras, where could they do that?
They could follow me on Facebook at Kip Rascal. They can follow me on Twitter at Kip Rascal. And they can follow me on Instagram at VidTryst, which is VidTryst.
All right. Well,
and that's all I got. Okay. That's my social medias.
All right. Fantastic. Once again, I thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Once again, a big thank you to Kip Rascal for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and letting the listeners get to know just a little bit more about him. Check him out each and every event with Rocky Mountain Pro, Thursdays for Charged, and many other events throughout the month. So let's do the quick week in review for what I experienced this past week. And just want to shout out to everybody that I saw this week. It was just what I needed, was going through just a little bit of rough time. And just getting out and watching some wrestling kind of really energized me. So started the weekend off with Rocky Mountain Pro last Thursday for Charged. It was a great event. Didn't have my voice with me. It was a little sore voice, but I made sure I did the best I could, cheering and booing respectively. Then on Friday, went down to Colorado Springs Wrestling for their Unlucky Odds event. Great wrestling. It was a great event to get to see a lot of the people I haven't got to see in a while for Colorado Springs Wrestling, because I think I may have missed the last one just due to a scheduling conflict or something to that effect. But it was great to get down there as well. And then on Saturday, I went to the New Era show for Genesis from Mile High Comics in Denver, Colorado. Mile High Comics, of course, being the largest comic book store in the world. I always loved the atmosphere, and it was a great card. Loved the event. Going to say the match of the night, and I'm going to call out, if you guys are listening, Ralph and the Big Guy, if you guys do not call the Dooley Lee versus Ari Aurora match the match of the night, which I think you already picked your match of the night, but that's my opinion, calling you out, that was the match of the night. Just because of the way the show started and the way that those breaking the fourth wall, the way that those two worked together. That's all I have to say. Simple as that. And then I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody that, of course, missed scheduling conflicts and scheduling. You know, looks like Primos Premier Pro Wrestling. Yes, I got your name right, I hope. Had the great 10th anniversary of Slave to the Death match. Looked like it was a great show. Sorry I missed it, but Sundays are just a little hard for Mr. Fourth Row when he has to work extremely early in the morning on Mondays. So hope to attend another one of your shows. And I know you guys have a lot coming on, and hope to get somebody on the show real soon. So let's talk about what we have coming up here in the near future. This week, of course, we are starting with Rocky Mountain Pro, starting the weekend off, wrestling weekend off, with their charge from the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Golden, Colorado at the Quarry. Want to get tickets for each and every event, Rocky Mountain Pro, just head over to rmpwrestling.com and click on the events link there, and you can get them, as well as, of course, showing up at the door. But, of course, if you get tickets in advance, and, of course, in advance with any of these shows, most of them, you can save yourself a few dollars here and there. Then on Friday night, we have Respect Women's Wrestling, volume number 8, according to this, I believe, even though it's September, from the Herman's Hideaway. Going to be all kinds of great events. We got Alligato versus Hyann, Simone Lockhart's going to take on Ruby Reyes, and so much more. Of course, got a great band lineup as well. Want to get tickets for that? The best thing to do is, if you can go to the Respect Women's Wrestling Facebook page, or I believe you can even go to Herman's Hideaway's website and get tickets there. Starts at 8 p.m., doors at 7. Should be lots of fun. Then on Saturday, we have a very special event, and it is the Body Slams and Breakdowns, Music and Mayhem to benefit Man's Best Friend. Body Slams are being done by Primos Premier Professional Wrestling, and Breakdowns is going to be by Mosaic, and I can't read the rest of the bands there, but it's at 1967 South Broadway in Denver, Colorado. 100% of the proceeds from the games to benefit All Paws Matter Dog Rescue. So it's a great thing. It's from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., so it's an all-day event. If you're in the Denver, Colorado area, head down there and get to watch some wrestling and some music. It's at the Brutal Poodle, I believe is what it is. So that should be a great event to attend. Then on Sunday, we have two events, I believe. Hugo's Lucha Libre is having their event on Sunday the 22nd. Let's see, we've got all kinds of great talent on the card. I think JK Pop is in action, as well as, I believe, Taya Valkyrie, Naya, Achilles Luchador, I think, is going to be on the card. Of course, Rayo Leito is going to be there as well. Puma, Luna, Psycho Queen, Athena, all kinds. Info, you can call 720-365-2592. And I believe doors open at 5 o'clock, and probably the wrestling starts probably at 6, I believe. Sometimes, like I said, I apologize. Sometimes the Lucha posters are a little bit harder to read just because I am not completely bilingual. I try to do my best, so I apologize to Hugos. Then also on Sunday, we have IWC Legacy is having an event as well up in Westminster at the Emporium Event Center at 3051 West 74th Avenue. We've got some great people on the card. Looks like I Am the Provider is there. Joey Kincaid, I think Austin Logan, Seven. One of my favorite luchadors, of course, Delta Jr. looks like he is on the card, according to the poster as well. Looks like, let's see here, Chewy Martinez is going to be in there. We've got Hijo Del Santo versus Laredo Kid, Hijo de la Park versus Lance Archer. Should be great as well. And then I also believe there's special appearance going to be by a legendary lucha star as well on that. And let's see here, I believe tickets are $25, VIP a $35. Should be a great time as well. So that looks like that's all we got coming up this week. But before I get out of here, want to, of course, thank the Trending Topics Network for hosting this show. And if you like this show, subscribe or stay subscribed to this particular feed on the Trending Topics Network. You can listen to other great shows such as All Beer Inside, Old School at the Movies, and Wrestling Cheers. If you want to contact the show, it's as simple as the website is wrestlingwithaltitude.com. Email podcast@wrestlingwithaltitude.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter handle is WrestleAltitude. And that is it. You want to follow me? It's Mr. Fourth Row, M-I-S-T-E-R. Put a 4-T-H in the middle, R-O-W. Pretty much anywhere there on Twitter and on Instagram. So I want to thank you all for listening and having fun wrestling with Altitude.